Well, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode with the Power of Growth Mindset. You know, today is a very special day because we are launching, officially launching, our very first series, Building Your Own Brand. BYOB is what we're going to be using. And with this series, we're going to be touching on a number of different topics, everything from what is professionalism, how you should show up in certain environments, how do you handle networking? We're going to be talking through financial literacy. We're going to be talking about just overall health and how we can guide you and allow you to make gains throughout your journey. And there's going to be a number of other things that we're going to be mixing in. And so we're very super excited to be kicking this off. And Mike, I'm going to hand it off to you, my guy. And let's get it going, because I know we have a special guest today who's going to be talking on a number of things around professionalism. And so I'm going to hand it off to you.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. So today we got a special guest, and many may know him by native of Durham, North Carolina. However, I know him as Cuzzo. He's been like a brother to me in a sense. Also, not to mention, he's just a dope role model. He is an individual who I would consider as an influential figure within the community, as he is a Black male. But, you know, oftentimes we don't see many Black males within the profession or even within the role that he's currently in. And so he is a proud native of Durham, North Carolina, graduated from North Carolina Central University, and he's a Duke alum, and also he's an alum of UNC Chapel Hill. I mean, I don't know why he went that way, but you know, I'm gonna let that one slide. But yeah, he's also a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, and he's also a proud father, a son, a brother, and he's a lot to many people. But to me, I know him as Reginald Boney, aka Reggie, aka Cuzzo. Reggie, what's good? Yo. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, man?
What's going on? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be here. Even though you kind of threw shade, the other ACC schools, but you know, after this news this week with Nicole Hannah Jones, I'm a little ashamed myself. So,
hey, we both paying back student loans, so it don't really matter. Yeah. Yes, sir. So, once again, welcome to the show, Reggie. You know, we like to get the show started by just going around and just basically doing a check-in, because you know, in our society that we live in, like, men have to be macho, and we don't really check in on one another. And when we do check in, it's more so like, yo, you good? And like, yeah, man, I'm good. Like, and just dismissing everything that's actually going on. And so we just want to kick that off and say, what's really going on with you, Reggie?
Man, what's going on with me right now is honestly, man, I think right now I'm in like survival mode. And I think I've been in survival mode for at least, I guess, the whole year. I would say the pandemic kind of, you know, really brought that out. Just trying to stay above water mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, financially, all of it, man, just surviving. So, you know, I'm not, you know, completely down and out, and I'm definitely hopeful, but you know, right now it's definitely survival. Like, it's just, you know, we out here, I'm doing whatever I got to do for my family. It's grind mode, you know, that's part of survival mode, just trying to trying to do what I need to do in this season, because you know, seasons aren't permanent, they change. That's what seasons do. And so I'm doing what I need to do in this season to prepare for the next season, in hopes of that, you know, the next season, it won't be so much survival, but it'll be a little bit more of, you know, thriving, enjoying the fruits of my labor. So, yeah, that's where I am right now. But, you know, I'm here, I'm happy, and that's a blessing. So haven't always been able to say that.
That's real, man. My, you know, I was having a conversation with my dad actually the other day, and on a number of different things, and kind of like what you just said, he said, you know, at the end of the day, seasons are going to change. But one of the most important things that you need to do is take that step back, breathe, and realize that, you know, in these moments where we feel like, oh man, we're just trying to stay afloat, you know, you are molding yourself to really bloom when that season is going to change. And so, you know, you're right on the money when you're talking about, hey, you know, I'm maintaining right now, but like all things, all good things come after some changes go on. So keep on, man, keep on.
So tell us a little bit about who's Reggie Boney.
So like you said, I'm Reggie Boney. I am, you know, from Durham, North Carolina. I been here all my life, educated here all my life. I currently work as a legal consultant for the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources in Raleigh, which is basically just the agency that oversees all of the state's museums, zoos, aquariums, historic sites, parks, and all of that. Mm-hmm. I work as in the legal field, general counsel for them. So, and you know, that's where I am now. That's how I serve. So
interesting. So one of the things that we want to follow up and ask is, you know, why the legal field? We know there's a lot that goes into becoming a lawyer. There's a lot that goes into law school, but what drew you to the field?
Honestly, so I went to divinity school before law school. And when I went, I had the intent, I honestly went to divinity school for like, I had a quest for knowledge. And because I grew up in church all my life, both my parents are preachers. And you know what, you can kind of get to a point where you're like, okay, it's gotta be something more. And so going to divinity school kind of opened my eyes to a lot of, you know, a lot of things. And what it did was reignite my desire to go to law school, because that was my first passion back in undergrad. Mm-hmm. I just didn't take it as seriously, had no like real direction, and it didn't work out. And so after divinity school, man, like learning about like how social justice plays out theologically with God and oppression and systemic racism and all that, I was like, I think I want to go to law school. And so I went to law school, and I, after I graduated from Duke, the next semester I was at Carolina in law school, and I was, you know, I had the goal of being a civil rights attorney that, you know, is going to stand up for the people, which, you know, might still happen. I mean, you know, I'm not counting that out. That's not what I'm doing right now, but that's my goal, like making sure that in whatever capacity I serve in, I truly believe in servant leadership, and I want to make sure that I take the issues of my people and prioritize them in whatever capacity I work in. So that's why I chose the legal field, because I felt like that type of training, that type of knowledge would give me the practical means to be able to carry out, you know, the philosophical things that I learned in divinity school. I felt like I needed to go and learn, you know, the laws of the land so I can critique them.
Hey, that's a good start, man. Thank you for sharing that. So, you know, you are in the field where many Black and Brown people we need the most, and we find ourselves needing legal assistance, but some may not be able to afford it. Some may have the means to afford legal assistance. So I was wondering what type of advice or what would you tell someone using this platform? Because, you know, our motto is we see you, we hear you, and this space is for you. And we like to educate people on different things. That's what's going on within the community, but most importantly, mm-hmm. just providing them food for knowledge. And so do you have any resources or information that you would like to share on this platform regarding like how to get help or how to navigate the legal system?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. I would say that right off the top of my head, right off gate, that, you know, access to the legal profession is definitely a major problem. And it's a problem in the legal profession all across the board, you know. And so what a lot of people do not know is that law schools have clinical programs, and we live in a state that has many law schools. You have North Carolina Central, UNC, Duke, Wake Forest, Campbell. And so these schools have clinical programs that are designed to, you know, assist traditionally underserved and underrepresented communities. And so and it's pro bono work. Like, it's, you don't have to pay. I know when I was in law school, I was a certified student attorney with the Youth Justice Clinic at UNC Chapel Hill. And, you know, it was great work. I love doing it, being able to help people who probably would not be able to get help, you know, by means of their own. So, you know, I would say look up the clinics. I know, like, off gate that North Carolina Central has a lot of clinics there, like with family law and with juvenile justice. Carolina has, you know, small business. They have a civil rights clinic. They have a youth justice clinic. There are a lot of resources out there. And so if you are in need of representation, I would encourage you to put, you know, to look there to see if you could get some help. It's a resource that not too many people are privy to. So
now, is this a resource where one could go actually on campus, or is this something that they would have to like go on Google and find the information or?
Yeah, definitely. You could like find it online. If you were to, if you were to Google, you know, UNC law clinics, it'll give you a list of them. Like now, I just did it actually. And so you have like the Civil Legal Assistance Clinic, the Community Development Clinic, the Critical Race Lawyering Civil Rights Clinic, Immigration Clinic, you know, Youth Justice. It's a lot of different clinics. And all of those clinics, it's almost like they serve as small law firms in the school. And they have a group of students who are interested in that type of work that carry out the legal work for clients. And so—
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, and it's like a good way for us to practice being lawyers before we graduate. It's kind of like student teaching is to education.
Yo, thank you so much for dropping those gems, man. I didn't know that. And these resources that Reggie is sharing with us would definitely be on our website under the My Treatment tab. So definitely take a look at that tab.
You know, as we had talked about early on in this episode, we have officially launched this series called Building Your Own Brand, BYOB. And one of the things that we're really interested with you, because you do a lot in your community, we've got a lot going on with your background. One of the things that we're interested in is how have you gone about establishing your own personal brand? But more importantly, and we can even peel it back another layer. Okay. You know, with everything that's been going on with the pandemic, brands change, especially during this time, whether it's down to networking, whether it's down to, you know, working in the office, working from home. How has that dynamic changed for you, especially during this time?
I think a big part of, you know, just surviving this pandemic has been, for me personally, at least, realizing what's truly important. And you know, getting to the core of who I am. I mean, we've seen like, you know, throughout this year that life is so fragile.
Yep.
And, you know, the things that we often take for granted, you know, they can be taken from us so quickly. And so I think, you know, getting to what's really important, learning to find gratitude in moments of what seems like despair, it's really kind of altered how I just think about things personally, which then rolls over to how I think about things professionally,
right?
With my relationships and everything. I mean, it just affects everything, just getting back to what's truly important. Because, you know, we can fill our lives with a lot of fluff.
Yep.
And I think the pandemic in a weird way kind of showed us that, like, you know, it's a lot of our lives are filled with fluff. It just really is. And we, in a weird way, has shown us kind of what is important and the things that we kind of need to cherish a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, that's definitely been, you know, something that I have honed in on during this past year.
That's awesome. And just to follow up with that, you know, as you mentioned, you took out a lot of fluff. And I think a lot of us, especially during this time, have cut out a lot of things that really don't matter in a sense. And we all took a step back and really just reevaluated, like, hey, like, is this helping me professionally? Hey, is this helping my family? hey, is this going to make an impact on those around me? So I'm curious, you know, with your background, what are some of those things that you had to remove, or some of those things that you had to refocus within your brand? So that way, you know, as we start thinking about what's next, that next season, eventually, hopefully we're back to somewhat of a normal. But what are some of those things that you've kind of changed with your brand to ensure that as we start making that move, you're in a good spot and ready to rock and roll?
Yeah, definitely. Simply, man, honestly, it has been reimagining how my Blackness fits into the world.
Okay.
Okay.
That is something.
Okay.
That is something that I have, you know, just really been. I've been going through it a while. Like,
okay.
I've always known, like, even so, undergrad, I majored in African American studies, so I've always had like this, you know, at least like this basic, you know, level knowledge of what people call now wokeness and being, you know, Black and proud and all that. You know, I've always been Black and proud.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've grown and matured, been humbled a lot, and just figured out a lot of things about myself, I realized like how much value I have been putting into things that do not appreciate the value of my Blackness.
Ooh. Okay.
And okay. Over this pandemic, I've had time to just kind of, you know, think about that. Over the pandemic, I studied for the bar, which I think is a complete racist test. You know, I graduated from law school, which I think is, you know, the legal field is completely racist as well. You know, and graduating from UNC Chapel Hill, you know, is exacerbated even more. And so I've had time to kind of like, you know, think about those things and how I know that I'm not alone. Like, I know that there are other Black people, Black men, Black women who are in, you know, spaces where they know their Blackness is not appreciated. It could be, I don't care if you're in the C-suite or you're sweeping the floors of the corporation. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Blackness is devalued constantly and it's exhausting. And through a pandemic, it's even more exhausting because even in that, you know, it affects, you know, the pandemic affects race in ways that, you know, were disproportionately bad for Black people. Mm-hmm. And so I've really been thinking about that, kind of dropping some things, unlearning some things about how I need to move forward with my life and being my best true self, which is really accepting the parts of me that society says I need to somehow morph into something else or shift or alter in some way.
Mm.
You know, like, and it's interesting that, you know, this thing happened this week with the professor at Carolina, Nicole Hannah Jones, and because that's a really good example of exiting spaces that no longer appreciate who you are.
Right.
And that can be hard for people, and I get it, because as you will both know, you know, we're kind of taught to play the game as Black people, which I get. I really do. Like, mm-hmm. I truly get the logic behind that, because we all do it. Every Black person who, you know, has anything has played the game some type of way. It's what we do. We wear masks daily, right? But sometimes, man, you get tired of wearing it. You know, you get tired of wearing the mask. Yes. And it's like, because we, you know, like, white people have the privilege of going into countless spaces,
mm-hmm.
And being comfortable with who they are.
Right.
I don't know what that feels like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the closest thing that I got towards that was being an undergrad at NCCU, where it was kind of like, okay, I can actually kind of be myself here. But even then, sometimes, especially when you have professors who are from a generation prior to yours,
right,
they uphold those same, you know, expectations of respectability and you got to be this way, which, you know, at the time, I'm not going to say it was bad advice, but sometimes, man, you know, I'm really truly wondering moving forward how unhealthy that can be for Black people. And I feel like I'm rambling, so I'm going to stop right here.
not at all, man. Like, no. What you said, it spoke to me because as I shared with Gandhi before, like, and you stated a lot that I would like to unpack, like even going back to the beginning of your statement where you said that you feel like the bar exam is a test that is racist. And then you also said within like law school itself, like, can you speak more to that? Because, you know, we have a diverse platform of our listeners, and some of them, they may take that for face value and not understand exactly where you're coming right. from. So can you elaborate on that for us a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So first and foremost, 4% of lawyers are Black in America, like mm-hmm. just only 4%. And so that kind of gives you some inclination into how race plays a part with the legal system. Mm-hmm. And it starts well before you get to law school. You know, law school is a very selective place. And, you know, those who get in typically score high on LSAT scores. But the reality is, you know, a lot of the people who score high on LSAT, on the LSAT, have the means to do LSAT prep. Yep. They have them, you know, they have other people in their family who have done this before them.
The opportunity was created for them.
Yes, right. It's different for a lot of Black people who are breaking a ceiling. You know, they're a lot of times we're the first lawyer, first people in our family to go to law school. Yep. No one has ever done it before. It's uncharted territory. we did well in the LSAT because we studied, you know, really hard. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, it. And then even with that, you know, who gets into law school and who has the means for bar prep, which is thousands yep. of dollars, it all creates more barriers for Black people to participate in the field, which interestingly enough, incarcerates more Black people, you know, than any right. other race. And so that's why I said it is racist. It's the good old boys club. And it's been that way since 1776. And it will probably be like that for a while. You know, other fields are a little more flexible, less rigid with how they do things. The legal field is still kind of very old school mm-hmm. with how professionalism plays out, what's acceptable, you know, what's not acceptable, the elitism, the snobbery. That's very much legal feel like, well, like, where'd you go to law school, or, you know, where'd you study and where are you working and all that type of stuff. So it can be very elitist, very racist, and very hostile to Black people. Now, of course, you know, we have Black people who enter the legal field and do very well because that's what Black people do. We excel regardless in every field, education, law, music, science, medicine, whatever it is, you know, we always have those who excel and do well. But overall, I believe that even those people will tell you that there are some things that need to change mm-hmm. within the profession. And, you know, it could potentially look like the dismantling of an entire system, but that's another
hey, talk to him.
That's some critical race theory stuff that that's, you
know, hey, but check this out though. What you're saying, you're not the first person to actually say this. And that's why we invited you to our platform, because, you know, the information that you're sharing now, it's information that for some of our listeners, it's gonna be the first time they have ever actually heard something like this. Correct. And so what I encourage everyone to do is, you know, Reggie, though he did say he graduated from Carolina Law, however, do your own research. If you feel like he may be misstating facts or something like that, that of the sort, do your own research, because that information can be found. And it's just not here on this podcast. It's here anywhere within like a library or, you know, in a, they have Google. You can Google anything else. So Google this research that we're, what we're talking about. And so, you know, I want to piggyback off what you said, Reggie, because when you go to talk about exams and how they are, in a sense, they are racist and they create barriers in a sense, that's almost in every field. And you know, I see it a lot with standardized testing as an educator. Like, that is one thing I'm just like, how are we literally sitting here testing these kids in the midst of a pandemic? And then what we are hearing is, well, the results don't really count this year. So why are we testing? So what is the main goal that we're trying to accomplish here?
And so,
like I said, you know, the information that we share on our platform, like, always before, it's just like learning stock. Don't just go invest in a stock because somebody said, hey, you might want to invest in this because it may be a hit. Learn about that stock, learn about that that particular vendor and what they're doing for their company and how it's actually helping the community or not helping the community, because at the end of the day, that is your money investing into something that you don't even know nothing about. And so I would like to take it to the next question, which is, you know, how has your idea of professionalism and or your brand has changed since your experience within those white spaces and black spaces?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. My idea of professionalism has shifted, I'll say, to just, you know, being one's best self. I think that is it, you know, and doing the job as well as you can. Like, I don't really look at professionalism. I try to take away all of the fluff around professionalism that have to do with things like presentation and, you know, dialect and things like that. Because I feel like if you can do the job and you do it well, that should really be
grant me the opportunity, core,
right? Yeah, to be the core of it. Now, granted, there are some things that, I mean, I know that there are certain standards in professional spaces, like as far as presentation goes, for example, like, you know, looking clean cut and a certain way and dressing a certain way. That might depend on your profession as well, though. But like more so like the things that are like biological, though, like the hair that grows out of your head. My ideas have definitely shifted towards that. Like, what does clean cut really mean? You know what I'm saying? So those ideas have shifted. And I really think that embracing the whole person should be the model for professionalism. And I kind of really wish that more workspaces really took more social responsibility for how they uphold pillars that oppress people, really. You know, like, you know, it's a shame that I really have to like seriously think, do I need to grow my hair out? Or is that not like professional enough? You know what I'm saying? Like, but a white boy with hair this length, he'll get away with it. He'll do the comb over. You know what I'm saying? His hair is probably the same length. You know what I mean? But mine looks different. And it's like, I really have to think, like, I probably shouldn't, you know, I probably shouldn't wear my hair like this. I just do clean cut with the waves, you know, something like that's,
yeah.
Like, it might not seem like a big deal, but those are like barriers. And I think that professionalism a lot of times, and I hate to keep bringing this up, no, I don't hate to keep it online, but a professionalism a lot of times is just really kind of standards that white people made before black people were even included.
Like a Eurocentric group.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not, a lot of the standards are just built up around politics of respectability, which I think sometimes do us a disservice. And like I said before, I get playing the game. Like, you know what I'm saying? I truly understand sometimes that's what you got to do, especially if you have goals in certain fields. Like, for example, Barack Obama. Like, we know Barack Obama was not about to go up in the White House and have a cookout on the lawn, the family reunion. And he's not going to do that. And if he would have done that, we'd probably be like, bro,
Because of what we've been taught.
But I know like that was his goal to be the president. Mm-hmm. If you want to do, that's what you had to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you know, I hate that it's like that, but I definitely get it. And hopefully, you know, soon, you know, the world is changing fast. And hopefully soon we'll get to the point where people can really live and be themselves, their true honest selves. And even in workspaces, because I really truly believe that everybody has something to offer.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, it's right. I feel like when you force people to mold into one way, you are discounting so many other experiences and personalities and stories. And it's kind of like discounts humanity. It does, like, you know, I feel like the professional spaces would serve better if they looked a lot more like the world and not like a certain demographic.
Go ahead.
So that's spot on, man, because, like, you know, as I was talking to a police officer the other day, and he was just like, yeah, just in my county, our sergeant just started allowing us to wear short sleeve. And I'm like, yo, it's like 102 degrees outside and y'all wearing long sleeve in the summer? Come on. He said, well, that's not considered as professionalism. Yeah, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's stuff like that. Exactly. That's a perfect example of what I'm saying. Like, stuff like that. Like, why?
Who came up with this? Like, and so I guess, you know, creativity and intersectionality and just looking at the whole human and what they can bring to the table, you know, oftentimes that's not nearly looked at. And it's more so like what I don't know you, so I'm not going to invite you to the space. So I guess what feedback or general what feedback would you provide to someone who's trying to navigate a space, but they may be feel like they don't fit in because of the style of their hair or their hair color, or maybe their personality, or maybe they feel like they stand out because they are creative, but they're different. What type of feedback would you give that type of person?
Yep. Yeah, that's a great question. I would definitely say I would definitely say, you know, be true to who you are. Don't lose yourself. That's the number one goal. Like, always keep that in mind. Don't lose who you are. And I say that to say, that doesn't necessarily mean that you won't, for instance, put on a suit or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, just make sure you maintain who you are. Because I realize that it is not as easy for everybody to not play the game. You know what I'm saying? There are people, and that's why I said I get it. There are people who want to be lawyers, Black people who want to be lawyers. To be a lawyer, you want to go work in a law firm, you're not going to go in there, you know, and just be who you are, speak in any type of way, and get the job. You know what I'm saying? I understand. In certain professions, you probably are going to have to be a little more rigid with that. But even with that, do not lose who you are, and know that that does not make you, that does not add value to you. That, you know what I mean? Like that, like, know that. For people who are in spaces where you can be a little bit more flexible, I say, you know, go for it. I mean, seriously though, like, if you can, you know, if you can be who you are, and I say go for it. I'm really just in a place where I'm like, you know, bump all of these respectability expectations for people, but you have to use wisdom with it. That's why I'm trying to uphold it. It's kind of like a paradox. And I feel like as Black people, we don't live in a world where it's either or. It's always like two things are happening at once. Like, our existence in America is knowing the balance between playing the game but being yourself, building the boat while you row it. Like, it's a weird existence that we have, and you have to find you have to find that place where you can say, you know, some things I'm just not going to give up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There are some non-negotiables, but there are some things where it's kind of like, I'll bend a little bit for now if it's going to get me to my goal. You know, some things just we should know are non-negotiables and know that that's just how it is for us, at least right now. I mean, y'all can push back. Tell me what you agree, what you think.
No, I think you're spot on. And I think this is something Mike and I talk a lot about authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot about being authentic is being able to bring your true self in whatever environment you're in. So, you know, as you start, you talked on a number of different points, but one of the things that I'm curious about, you know, we know that folks in the law profession, it's a little bit more rigid, but as we look back at everything that has transpired with COVID to everything, all the injustices that have taken place over the last year to year and a half. And of course there were injustices before, but do you feel like in your career, what you do day in and day out, do you feel like that there is a shift? Like, are you able to bring yourself to work and be more authentic? Do you see that your coworkers are allowed to be more authentic? Like, how has that shifted? Because at the end of the day, if you can't bring your authentic self to work, there's no way that you're going to be able to perform to your highest ability. So I'm curious from your viewpoint, you know, how has authenticity changed for what you do?
It's funny you ask that because for a year, I haven't seen anybody. Because I'm working from home. I don't know. I guess they're here themselves.
You got the polo shirt and the short and the baller shorts on, right?
Right.
I wish I could relate.
Right. But because you're going to work. But I definitely have seen more in the field people like embracing their ethnicity more, especially when it comes to hair. Mm-hmm. They're seeing a little bit more of the, you know, the afros, the sponge twists, the locks, which I think is a good thing. And I know you all probably have heard of the Crown Act that was recently passed that made it illegal to discriminate in the workplace.
Can you talk a little bit more about that before you continue on?
Okay. I mean, I can give you a basic general mm-hmm. description because I'm not a Crown Act specialist. But it's basically an act that says you cannot discriminate because of how the hair grows out of somebody's head, which seems really crazy that we have to have a law for that in 2021. But, you know, the way professionalism is set up in this country, they had mm-hmm. to pass a law.
Right.
Because we know that, unfortunately, people with certain hair are seen differently. Doesn't matter where they went to school, how qualified they are, how skilled and intelligent they are. They just, they're often overlooked for the job and considered to be just less valuable and less, you know, less qualified. Mm-hmm. And so that act, that law now helps people to not be discriminated against because of their hair. I see a lot more of that happening now. People kind of embracing some things about themselves that people didn't do before. And I just think as society changes and becomes more aware of how certain systems are oppressive, we'll probably continue to see the trend of people bringing more of themselves into spaces that they couldn't really do before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping that happens.
And thank you for sharing that, Reggie, and also elaborating on that. Something also I would hope to see one day is I sat on numerous interview committees and mm-hmm. In different types of industry of work, but also by the name. They do discriminate because of your name.
Absolutely.
And not just your hair. And, you know, that's the sad part about it. And, you know, though we may not be able to actually change our name, and kind of going back to what you said, it's like playing the game in a sense. And, you know, I've heard somebody tell me that numerous times, and she said, You got to play the game. You got to know how to play the game to get what you want. And it's just like, it's like playing chess in a sense. And my response was like, I'm too old to be playing games with adults. And but I realized, like, you know, taking that route or that attitude of saying, like, you know, I'm too old to play the game with adults, I began to see myself kind of, in a sense, missing out on opportunities. And so, you know, once I kind of learned the game, and but most importantly, knew what, kind of like what you said earlier, where I was willing to bend, I didn't feel bad because I didn't feel like I was lessening myself to become or fit into a space that wasn't welcoming, or I didn't feel like I was wanted. And so, you know, when it comes to this building this value or developing this growth mindset, I want to take it back to a very generic question. You know, how do one value oneself? But most importantly, how do you go about establishing a brand for yourself?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because it's easy to say, don't do this, don't do that. You need to see it from this angle. And then we, you know, we talk about, well, it's like the saying, people say, well, you need to go to mental, well, you need to go to therapy. It's just like that, yo, that could be a cuss word to some people. And so when we talk about like building your own brand and valuing certain things and knowing where you're willing to bend or compromise, like, can you speak to the audience about like, what would you suggest, or in a sense, like general information would you give in that sense of building a brand for yourself that based off of what you value and in a sense of your beliefs, even if you had to unlearn to relearn?
Yeah, I think that, the number one thing, the core is knowing and realizing who you are. Like, before, you can't establish a brand without that, first and foremost. Mm. You have to know and realize who you are. And that takes some time. Because, well, maybe I should not say it takes some time, because it might not take time for everybody. It took some time for me. But I would encourage you to really tap into that, tap into who you are as an individual. And then also, like, realize what it is, or tap into what it is that you want to be like known for. What do you want people to know about you? So like, for example, with me, what I find equally as important as my job, you know, my capability and ability to do the job, is people knowing that Reggie is the type of person who is teachable and easy to work with, you know, like, you know, a humble guy, but can, you know, he'll do the job great, but he's easy to work with. He'll, you know, that's really important to me. Building relationships is something that's important to me. Like, you know, and I really want, that's what I want to be known for. I want, if people are talking about me in the professional world, I want them to say, oh, you know, Reggie Boney. Oh yeah, he's a great guy. I talk with him, blah, 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 blah. You know, before they say, he writes a really good memo. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, I value,
right.
For me, I value that more. So, because I feel like that's really the core of professionalism. As I'm growing, you know, that's what I'm discovering is the core professionalism. It's the ability to establish relationships. And I feel like the best relationships are established when you are your authentic self, and you are only your authentic self when you know who your authentic self is.
Come on. I cannot be somebody else. Like,
you can't be somebody else. You have to be you.
Look, I always tell them, look, when you invited me to this interview, when you hired me to be Michael Thomas James. You did not hire me to be the last person that resigned. And I'm sorry if you feel that way. However, when you invite me to the table, you get everything that comes with me. With me understanding, yes, right, this is the job description. And yes, I need to make sure I act within these boundaries. But at the same time, who I am as a person, I've challenged myself to challenge systems who I feel like who have been held in place that has been preventing me or other people who look like me to actually get another opportunity or a seat at the table.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think that is like very, very important. And those are things that you can build more things on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just have to have the foundation of knowing who you are, knowing what you want to be known for. And I think it's really valuable to have the type of personality that is easy to get along with. I don't want to make it sound like it's too like docile or be like too meek, but you know, building relationships is a really good skill to have. And you should definitely, if that is not your strong, you know, suit, you don't like talking to people, practice.
Yeah.
Practice your, you know what I mean? Like I've had to do that because honestly, as a person, if I don't know you, like personally, if I don't know you, I won't speak to you. And it's not me acting funny. I'm just kind of like, I guess I'm a little bit shy in that way, unless you like family or something like that. But I've grown to the family, like I can't be like that, you know, got to work with people. And so I would literally practice some certain conversations or have in my mind, okay, I have this to talk about. And then it just becomes natural as you go along. But those things that I mentioned before, I really think are crucial to establishing a brand, and not just establishing something that you think they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to fade away and get tired really fast. And if you're not being your authentic self, I promise you, you are going to burn out. you are going to be emotionally and mentally drained. And 10 years ago is going to pass and you're going to be like, how did I get here? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I can save you 10 years right now. If you just at least follow those, you know, those three steps. And for Black people, I think that is really important. For brothers, I think that is really important because we are often taught, especially, I know I was growing up in the school system, to kind of not be who you are. Like who you are is the antithesis of what we need in the professional world. You need to speak like this when you go in. You need to make sure your voice is a little bit higher so you don't seem scary. Be clean cut, you know, that type of voice, you know? And so you gotta, man, just be you, use wisdom, learn the balance, and don't sell your soul. Don't sell your soul, you know, and sacrifice who you are for anybody. I don't care who they are.
That's real, man. You dropped a ton of gems. Drop the mic
on them. Hey, I appreciate that though, because like, you know, being yourself, it's so easy to be caught up following a trend or following what someone else has said is like right for your life. And like, I think I was literally about 26, 27 when I really understood the importance of sometimes, you know, and I've said this on multiple episodes, we have been taught the wrong things by the right people.
Yep.
And, you know, I felt the need to like want more for myself. And when I say want more, it's not, I'm trying to add brand or bougie, whatever people want to call it, but it's more so to educate myself because, you know, we learn information and we just take it and run with it. However, you know, in school or graduate school for me, I learned to take information, then go research it and then find out how it can be applied to your life. But most importantly, what's the facts behind it? And like doing research and of the sort. So, you know, I appreciate you saying that because it's important to be yourself. And whenever you talking about developing a growth mindset, it all starts with you. And so I appreciate you for sharing it. I really do.
Yeah, definitely.
That's spot on, man. So I know we're kind of winding down and getting close to the end, and you already dropped a ton of gems, but you know, if you could summarize in like a few words, man, like some final thoughts, some closing thoughts about folks who are, you know, reestablishing their brand, coming up with their brand for the first time, because I know our audience can range from anybody who's trying to get a job and trying to work their way to their, you know, their first career or enter their first job in their career, to folks who are kind of doing some rebranding. Like any closing thoughts or any advice that you give to some folks, especially now that we're starting to get back to some normalcy around branding?
Yeah, definitely. I would say like realize the power of networking. That's very important. And not being afraid to reach out to people who are doing what it is that you want to do, or you think they could offer some type of guidance and advice. That's like the mentors I have now. That's how I got them. I just reached out to them, and they were willing, to kind of take me under their wing. And it is, I think it is imperative that Black professionals definitely do that and embrace the network that you might not even realize that you have. Embracing the importance of networking, I'd say. And I also say this, because one thing I've noticed, I've helped people like with some resumes. Mm-hmm. And this is like a real tangible, practical thing. Like, get someone to look over your resume.
That's real.
If they offer, you know, resume help at your school, take advantage of that. Because I've definitely seen some resumes before that when I looked at them, I was like, they weren't going to hire you because you're not selling yourself.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing is, bro, that goes back to a lot of, you know, knowing who you are and knowing your value, because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't realize that they have skills that mm-hmm. would really be helpful in certain jobs, and they don't know how to sell themselves, mm-hmm. Which makes sense when you live in a world that constantly devalues you. Why would you know that you even have anything to sell? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I would say get help with that, because that's something that you definitely need to move forward. And it is a short window into who you are, mm-hmm. and what you have done. And so definitely look into help with that. And those are two big things I can think off the top of my head: networking, being true to who you are, and really being humble and teachable enough to listen to anyone who has gone before you and who can help guide you. And sometimes, you know, you got to chew the meat, spit out the bones, because everybody's story isn't going to fit everybody. It's not a one size fit all. But that doesn't mean that there is not wisdom there that you can't take and use. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So,
that's definitely a huge part, I'd say. But networking is huge. A lot of these jobs is, you know, it's about who you know.
Yeah.
And you don't know people unless you talk to them.
And honestly, it's getting to the point where it's how many people do you know?
Yeah.
Because one person may can say, yeah, I know him, blah, 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 blah. And I think about it and I look at PhD programs. And as I was navigating my way and making my entrance into a program, and it was just like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they talk. And so once they talk and they collaborate with one another, like, yo, he did this, he did this, he did this. And so if there's like three people that's reading your application and only in like two people say yes to you, that's 2-1 already right there. So it's yes, who you know, but it's also how many people at the table do you know? And going back to that networking aspect, and I was wondering if you could share any community resources. I know you're in Durham, North Carolina, but also if you know any like national resources that most communities have of anything of the sort. I know you mentioned college career centers.
I was going to say career centers at colleges, and a lot of schools actually offer like community help, like when it comes mm-hmm. to like resume building and things like that. I know that North Carolina Central has something like that, and with the Black Law Students Association at UNC, they did things like that as well. And so I would say perhaps, if you live in an area that has a school by, whether it's a community college or university, research it and see if they have any type of programs to help with professional development, because a lot of places have free resources that just people don't tap into because they don't know mm-hmm. That, you know, is there. I would also say when it comes to like networking and things like that, LinkedIn is a really good source to like connect with people
mm-hmm.
if you do it right.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, get a good photo, put it up on your LinkedIn page. Something that looks like that's good quality It just needs, you know, you can tell when something is good quality, not a selfie or you at the club with your drinking. That's the stuff that I'm saying, like, that's wisdom. Yeah, you might like to party, but okay, we're not partying now.
We right, work. And there's people who give out free professional headshots as well. I know, like, if you sometimes watch the, like, different advertisement on social media. I know sometimes people do partner with schools and even like churches. I know sometimes they do have people that come around and do professional headshots, and even at events. Yep. I've been to a few events as well, and they do professional headshots, and it's literally from chest up. And so definitely stay tuned into that.
Yeah. And if you are like thinking about going back to school, I would look up people. This is why LinkedIn is really good, because this happens often. Like, people will contact me and say, hey, I'm interested in going to Duke Divinity, blah, 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 blah. Or I'm interested in going to Carolina Law. Is there some way you can, you know, help me navigate or the application process and all of that type of stuff? And, you know, I'll connect them with somebody at Carolina who's there now. And mm-hmm. like, it's like reach out to people. Don't be afraid to reach out to people and, you know, search for them, look for them, because there are, you know, they know what it's like to navigate those spaces, that application process. And so reach out to people. And that's another way to network and to meet people. I know when I was applying to both schools, I'm in Durham, so I live by both schools, but I like physically went to the schools where, you know, whenever they pulled my name, I was like, when y'all pull my file, y'all go remember Boney. Oh yeah, that's the guy that came up here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the guy who visited, you know, like stuff like that. You know, if you're interested in going to school, helps them see that, okay, this person is serious about this. And it kind of helps you, you know, stand out in a way. So, you know, don't be afraid to take the extra step in anything, whether it's going back to school or whether it's at your job, trying to get a job, just take that extra step. You don't know where to lead you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Another thing.
You dropping all these gems, man.
And I'm really like giving, it's kind of like I'm spilling everything that I've learned that, you know, I believe.
Hey, that's what this space is for, man.
Yeah, that I've, you know, allowed to hold me up for too long, that I'm just not allowing to hold me up no more. Like, so this, you know, last thing I want to say is, do not tell yourself no. Let them tell you no.
Mm. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Do not tell yourself no before they get the opportunity to do so. And I feel like, you know, in the past, I have let so many opportunities go because in my mind, I'm like, nah, it's not gonna happen. And it's like, what in the world? Like, apply, try, and if it doesn't work out, at least it's not because you didn't try or right. You didn't see the value in yourself. So, you know, I don't know who that's for, but stop telling yourself no before you get in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, let them tell you no. You can deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you never know if you don't try. How I like.
It's simple, but it's so true, man. It's so true.
Well, Reggie, we man, you dropped so many gems. I know a lot of people are going to really value this episode. But one last thing before we close out: if people want to connect with you, if people want to reach out to you, do you have social media? Do you have LinkedIn? How can people reach you?
Yeah, it's just Reginald Boney. So Reginald Boney. I'm too old to have the I won't remember it.
Hey, say it slower for the ones that's about to pull over and get a pen and pencil. A paper and a piece of
pen. So on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, it's just my name, Reginald Boney. That's R-E-G. See how country I sounded there, or it comes out. And I get, hey, when I get comfortable, the professionalism goes down, and then my true self comes up. Okay, so Reginald, last name Boney. Just follow me. I'll follow you back.
Hey, there we go. Well, Reggie, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you coming through. dropping some gems. I know there's some things that you said that I'm going to be applying to my life. And I know, of course, Mike is going to be doing the same. But for our audience, we want to leave you with this quote from the one and the only Bruce Lee. He said, absorb what is useful, reject what is useless, add what is specifically your own. Take a second, reflect on that. You know, this quote, when we start thinking about building your own brand, you're going to learn some things, you're going to research some things, you're going to change some things, and then you're going to add a twist to what is going to be your own. And so we encourage you, you know, I'm sure some folks jotted some notes down. I know some folks are going to be making some changes in their life, but, you know, at the end of the day, as we always say, it's going to start with you and it's going to end with you. And so we are excited to continue this series. We've got more coming up in the next few episodes, and always reach out to us if you have any questions. But above all things, as we always say, it all starts with you.